Open your Bible with me and let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, okay? We'll read a few verses from 2 Corinthians 8, but we'll spend most of our time in the book of Acts. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's look at the first five verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word. And thank you for the truths that we see here. And thank you for these believers at Macedonia and the Macedonian churches who wanted to give, who wanted to help with your work. But the first offering they gave to you was themselves. And Lord, that's a good example for us. Help us to remember that that's the most important gift we can give. So help us to have that attitude. I pray that all of us will make the decision to, before anything else, to give ourselves first to you, that you can be glorified in our lives. So, Lord, speak through your word today. Help us to grow in our walk with you. And use this message for your glory, that we could understand and grow. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The most important and the greatest offering we can make to our Lord is to give ourselves. That's the greatest gift we can give to the Lord. The Christian life begins with giving our hearts to Christ and salvation, doesn't it? You know, until a person realizes that they can't save themselves, they need Jesus in their lives. And they make that decision to put all their faith and trust in Jesus. The Christian life has not begun for that person, right? Our salvation, our walk with the Lord, it begins with that decision to put our hope and trust in Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision. Before we can go on to talking about first giving ourselves to the Lord, we have to first put all our faith and trust in Jesus, that he died for us, that when he died on the cross, he paid for our sins, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, showing his power. And aren't we all thankful that we don't serve a Savior that's in the grave? I mean, he could not help us, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Jesus never rose again, our faith is in vain. Because someone in the grave cannot do anything for us. But Jesus is powerful. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He conquered and overcame the grave. And he can give anyone salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to him. And we rejoice in that. But after we come to know the Lord as our Savior, after we trust Him in that way, God would desire that our Christian life grows and that we give ourselves wholehearted in devotion and service to Him. And that's what we're talking about today. These Macedonian Christians, they weren't special people. They weren't pastors or missionaries or anything like that, but they were poor saints, but they gave everything they had to the Lord because they first gave themselves to the Lord. Actually, this passage, this 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5 was our theme verse back in 2023. It really impacted my life as I meditated on this verse. It really impacted my life for a long time. Thinking about as I woke up in the morning, Lord, first of all, I give myself. I want you to have control of my life today. I want to do what you want me to do today and not live for self, but live wholeheartedly for you. And I found that sometimes, even in the middle of the day, I realized that I wasn't living for Christ like I should be. I had started doing my own thing, my own way. And so then again, right in the middle of the day, Lord, forgive me for my failure to put you first. Here, Lord, I don't have much, but what I have is for you. I give myself first to you. And this morning I want to talk about a man that I believe exemplifies giving himself first to the Lord. That man is Barnabas. And so I'd like to look at the book of Acts and look at not every verse that mentions him, but a number of the verses that mention this man named Barnabas. The story starts back in Acts chapter 4. So go with me to the end of Acts chapter 4. Barnabas as well was not initially an apostle or a pastor or a missionary. Originally, he was a Levite. He was a Levite from a remote island in the Mediterranean Sea called Cyprus. But he was in Jerusalem at this time. And he gave, first of all, he gave himself to the Lord. So let's look at the first time he's mentioned. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And I want to challenge you to be like Barnabas. Be a person, a man or a woman who first gives yourself to the Lord like Barnabas did. So let's be like Barnabas. And we'll notice the abundant fruit of giving yourself first to the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 says this. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. So we see that's not his real name. It's a nickname for him, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas had some property. And we see that because he first gave himself to the Lord, his property belonged to the Lord. He didn't hold on to it. When a need arose, when he saw that there's needs in the church here at Jerusalem, he willingly gave up that land. He gave it wholeheartedly to the Lord. He was not trying to impress anyone. He wasn't hypocritical in this. He just said, Lord, there's a need. You have me. If you need that property, it's for you. And he sold it and brought the proceeds from the sale and laid it all at the apostles' feet. Why am I emphasizing that? Because the next story is a sad story of two people who sold property, but they did it in a hypocritical way, didn't they? They kept back some of the proceeds, but they pretended that it was the whole amount of money. And because of that, they were judged of the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira. But that's not how Barnabas was. Because he had first given himself to the Lord, he was able to be a blessing to the church. And the work of God continued going on with great blessing. Look at chapter 5, verse number 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. If you first give yourself to the Lord, everything you have will be in the Lord's hand. And he'll be able to use you to be a blessing to others. First of all, if you first give yourself to the Lord, you can be a blessing to many other people. And God can use you to expand his work. You know, even though the Macedonian Christians that we mentioned were extremely poor, they sacrificed to be a blessing to others. those churches there, Paul, if you notice 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and you study that out, you see that Paul was kind of didn't really want to mention the need, the collection he was gathering to the Macedonian churches. He saw their poverty. He said, man, these people, they might need it even more than the Jerusalem believers. How can I mention that I'm collecting a collection for those needy Jewish Christians when these people are in such great poverty? But somehow they found out. Somehow the Philippian believers and the Thessalonican believers and Berean believers, they found out that there's a collection being made. And so even though they're in deep poverty, they had basically nothing. They gave whatever they had for the Lord's work to be a blessing to the believers in Jerusalem. That's the heart of someone who first give themselves to the Lord. They make great sacrifices, just like Barnabas did, just like the Macedonian believers did. And it's a blessing to God's people. And God's work grows. God's work grew in Europe because of those kind of sacrifices. God's work grew in Jerusalem because of those kind of sacrifices. And God's work can grow as well in Connecticut because of believers who first give themselves to the Lord. Have you first given yourself to the Lord? If you have, if you make that decision, you'll be a great blessing to others, and God's work will be blessed and enabled through that ministry that you've made, through that sacrifice you've made of yourself. A second fruit of fully and giving yourself first to the Lord is you will be able to help others. You'll be able to help bring others in. The next time we see Barnabas is in chapter 9. Chapter 9. What happens in chapter 9? What do we know about Acts chapter 9? There's a great persecution going on, right? And there's a man named Saul of Tarsus, and he's causing havoc in the church. He's binding people. He's going from house to house, if he finds believers, he imprisons them, even kills some of them, right? But then the Lord meets Saul on the road to Damascus when he's going on his way to bring more persecution and wreak havoc in other churches and other cities. God meets him and God converts him, right? Saul is converted. He comes to know the Lord when he meets the Lord on the road, and his life is changed. And he goes from persecuting the church and persecuting, you see in verse number five, that he's actually persecuting Christ, isn't he? He's persecuting Christ, right? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, Jesus says to him. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And so he goes from persecuting Christ to preaching Christ. And he begins sharing the word with others publicly. And then he returns to Jerusalem. But the Jerusalem believers, they think it's a ploy. They think he's trying to trick them into getting into the assembly so that he can arrest and persecute others. And so they won't let him in, right? But we see verse 26, what happens. It says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him into the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. So because Barnabas had first given himself to the Lord, not only his wealth was the Lord's, but his relationships were the Lord's. And God used his relationships with the believers as one of those believers in Jerusalem who was a faithful part of that church and a help to the church in such a great way to bring others in, to bring in Saul of Tarsus into the assembly. And Saul was there coming in and going out with them. If you think about the Apostle Paul, where would he be without Barnabas? Where would he be without this man? He gets into the church at Jerusalem because of Barnabas. Later on, he's far away in Tarsus, and it's Barnabas that comes and brings him in and equips him to be used in a greater way for the Lord's work. And it's Barnabas that takes him on the first missionary journey. It's amazing. We'll see in a little bit that God calls God's in Antioch. Barnabas is the number one guy, and Saul is down number five, right? It's Barnabas taking him and helping him to be equipped and using his gifts for the Lord's work. It's this man who first gave himself to the Lord. And God has a plan for every one of us. God has a plan for you to be a help to others. But first, he wants you. Maybe you've been willing to give God some things, but have you been willing to give him yourself? Have you said, Lord, first of all, I want to make the best offering. Here I am. I'm for you. You can have my wealth. You can have my relationships because you have all of me. I'm for you. And I want to live wholeheartedly for you. The third fruit of first giving yourself to the Lord is you will be able to serve wherever you are needed. You'll be able to serve wherever you are needed. We saw in Acts chapter 4 that Barnabas had property. He had some wealth and he had some property. And it's not wrong to have property. It's not wrong at all. But sometimes property can be a hindrance. Sometimes God has some choice servants that the property becomes a hindrance, right? They say, but what about this thing that they own or that land I have or my house? What I have to take care of these responsibilities. And it hinders them from service to the Lord. But Barnabas, when the Lord touched his heart about giving up the land, he gave it up. And then God could use him in a greater way. The property was never a hindrance to Barnabas. And then a need arose later on. And Barnabas was ready to go where God wanted him to go. Go with me to chapter 11 of Acts. Acts chapter 11. So in chapter 10, the gospel begins going to the Gentiles. And then some believers go up to Antioch. And they begin sharing the gospel with Grecians, with Gentiles. And God is with them. Let's look at the story. Chapter 11, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They began hearing, there's reports, there's new believers up there in Antioch, and these are baby Christians. They need some help. They need some mature Christian to go up there and help them. Who can we find? Who would be the man for that job? Who could go up there and disciple these new believers? What about Barnabas? He's the man for the job, right? It says in verse 22, the middle of the verse, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. I wonder if here in this area of Connecticut, if there was a new work planted or new believers were won to the Lord, and your pastor said, man, they're baby Christians. They need some help. Who can I choose? Who could we send as a church to be a blessing and a help over there to those, that group of believers? Could he choose you? Would he say, that person is filled with the Holy Ghost. That person's given themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. That person would be willing to do it. They'd be joyful about it. They would rejoice at the opportunity. Would he be able to pick you to do that work? You know, sometimes the work isn't for men. There's times when there's ladies that are saved and they need Christian ladies. They need an elderly lady, perhaps, or at least older in the faith, to come alongside and help them to grow. There's sometimes that I need my wife for a Bible study because it's not a man. It's a woman that's been saved. And so it's not just for men. It's for the ladies as well. Are you that Christian woman or that Christian man who's fully giving yourself to the Lord, who's been prepared to serve God? You're in God's word because you need to teach them how to have daily devotion. But you can't teach them if you're not having daily devotion, right? Are you having your own personal time with the Lord every day? Or are you on and off and not growing and Christian maturity? Could he choose you? Could your pastor choose you? The leaders in the church at Jerusalem could choose Barnabas. They thought he's the man for the job. And he did a great job. He went there and he rejoiced in what he saw. And many people were added to the Lord. But that's not all. It says in verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What a great thing happened in Antioch. Barnabas went there and he worked diligently, but he said, I need some more manpower. And Saul, what about Saul? What's he doing up there in Tarsus? And I'm sure Saul was serving in some way up there in Tarsus. But Barnabas said he needs more training. He can be used effectively here. And he departed and went and got Saul and brought him to Antioch. And for more than a year, they're working diligently together and reaching people with the gospel. What a joy. Do you see the great blessing of how you can be a help and blessing to others? If you make that decision to first give yourself to the Lord. The story goes on. The need arose for someone to take an offering to Jerusalem. And because Barnabas had first given himself to the Lord, because everything he had belonged to the Lord, the believers up there in Antioch began to have his attitude. They began to be generous. And they were burdened with the needs in Jerusalem. And it says there's a famine in the land, we see. And Agabus had predicted that. And we see in verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And one interesting thing you see in the book of Acts here in chapters 12 and 13 is it's usually Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas was the leader. in those things at first. So a fourth fruit of first giving yourself to the Lord is you will be prepared for even greater usefulness, for even greater usefulness. The church saw the need in Antioch. The church sent Barnabas to Antioch, but then the Holy Spirit sent him on from there. He had greater use for, could be used in a greater way for the Lord as we come to chapter 13. Chapter 13 of Acts. Acts 13, it says, "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, first one mentioned, and Simeon. And then we see Lucas and of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and the last, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed." Right? They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. God had greater plans for Barnabas, because he first gave himself to the Lord, and his ministry kept expanding and growing, and it just grew and grew and grew. And for a time, Barnabas and Saul were together planting churches, the first churches in Europe. That came later, didn't it? But those churches in Pamphylia and Cyprus and other places were planted by Barnabas and Saul. And then there was a disagreement, but Barnabas and Saul, they both kept going, didn't they? And Barnabas took Mark and made him useful once again. God keeps using you in greater and greater ways if you first give yourself to the Lord. And your fruit grows, and your joy grows, and there's hardship, but God's with you in the hardship, and He blesses you. And in the work in the Philippines, there's hardship. It's not all easy, but it's full of joy. And God's with us. And in every hardship, when we face disappointment, we can go to the Lord, and He encourages us, and He enables us to keep going for His glory. And if you will first give yourself to the Lord, maybe God won't call you to the Philippines. Maybe God won't call you into ministry. That's up to the Lord. But God will use you. God will keep increasing your usefulness and bless you in a great way with opportunities to be used for His glory. And there'll be a reward in heaven waiting for you, which will never tarnish and never fade away. I want to mention one other fruit of first giving yourself to the Lord. As I was looking at Acts and Barnabas's life, as I mentioned before, usually Barnabas is mentioned first in chapters 12 and 13. It's Barnabas and then Saul. But later on in chapter 13, the order changes. Of course, Saul became the Apostle Paul. And then we start seeing Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Barnabas. And throughout chapters 13 and 14, the end of 13 and then into chapter 14, it's always Paul and Barnabas. But when you get to chapter 15, notice chapter 15 with me. Acts chapter 15. The order reverses once again. Acts chapter 15, verse 12. So in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas had been sharing the gospel of the grace of God, that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. You cannot add to the gospel. That's the true gospel, isn't it? You can't add baptism. You can't add circumcision. You can't add following the law. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But that was difficult for the Jewish believers. It was hard. They had grown up always following the Old Testament law. They had grown up even following the ceremonial law. And they had always thought that to become a part of God's people, you have to become a Jew. You have to be part of the Jewish religion to become a part of God's family. And so, as time went on, it became an issue. False teachers started preaching in places that Paul and Barnabas were starting churches, telling the believers, you're not fully saved, or you're not really saved. Yes, you've trusted Christ, but you've got to be circumcised. You've got to follow the law. It's still going on today. Nowadays in the Philippines, as we share the gospel, we ask Catholics and others, are you sure you're saved? Oh, yes, I'm sure I'm saved. Okay, so how are you saved? Well, you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And wow, you start thinking, wow, I think maybe they're really saved. They must understand. But you ask this question, what else? You know, you say, what are you trusting in to be saved? And they say, in Jesus. I'm trusting in Jesus. But then you ask, what else? Well, and you know, doing good. Okay. And what else? And going to church. Okay, I see. What else? And there's a lot of what else's. That's a problem. Maybe you're that way today. There's some what else's. There's some additions to faith in Jesus Christ. My friends, that's a false gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, we're told that's a false gospel. When you add something to the gospel of faith in Jesus Christ alone, you add anything else, it's not the gospel at all. It's false teaching. And so Paul and Barnabas, they went to Jerusalem to discuss this issue with the apostles, with James and Peter and John and the others that were in Jerusalem, wondering, is there something we're missing? They were asking, basically. And so they took up that discussion, and praise the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they came up with the right answer, right? The Lord led them and guided them that there, you cannot add to salvation anything else. Salvation is through the grace of God, through our faith and trust in Jesus alone. And we see in verse 12, but what I want to know, what you notice is verse 12 and verse 25. Notice this. It says, Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience, it says, to Barnabas and Paul. It doesn't say Paul and Barnabas. To Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And so they explained how the Holy Spirit came on these believers. They accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit was working in their life, even though they'd never been circumcised, even though they had not become Jews. The Holy Spirit was working in their lives, demonstrating that salvation is through faith in Christ alone. And James speaks, and Peter speaks, and they tell how, yes, salvation is through faith in Christ alone. And so they decided, and the Holy Spirit revealed to them the true method of salvation, and they wrote a letter. Let's look at the letter, at a portion of the letter, verse 25. It says, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Once again, Barnabas mentioned first. What do you make of that? What do you make of this switch? First, it's Barnabas and Saul. Then it's Paul and Barnabas. And now in chapter 15, it's Barnabas and Paul. What I make of that is this. If you first give yourself to the Lord, You're going to be beloved of your church. You're going to be beloved of your church. You know, Paul, he was brought into that church at Jerusalem. But Barnabas, there's something unique about him. He was one of them. He was part of that church. That was his home church. And he had faithfully served in that church. And so he had a special place in their heart, in the heart of the believers at Jerusalem. And so for them, it's Barnabas and Paul, not Paul and Barnabas. They loved Paul. They loved him dearly. They appreciated his work. But there's just some special bond that they had with Barnabas. And you know, if you're in this church and you make a decision to first give your heart to the Lord, give your life to the Lord, give your all to the Lord, you're going to be beloved of your fellow believers here. And no matter where the Lord takes you, if he has you stay here and pray and give and serve in this church, you'll be beloved to the believers here. If God would call you into full-time Christian service to serve in another place, you'd be beloved by these people here. They would love you. They would love you more than we're loved here. And I know we're loved here. I appreciate this church. I know you guys are praying for us. And we appreciate it. But you know, there's something special about one of your own going out. We feel that at our home church. We're theirs. We're specially beloved. They've taken on a number of missionaries and they pray for all of them and love them all. But there's just a special place that we have in their hearts because we went out from them. And if you will fully, wholeheartedly give yourself to the Lord, you'll be beloved. That's a special blessing for those who decide to offer, first of all, themselves to the Lord. Are you like Barnabas today? Are you a believer that made a decision maybe years back? Lord, you get first place in my life. Lord, I want to give a lot to you and to your work, but the first offering I'm making today is this. It's myself. If you've made that decision a while back, may I just challenge you to keep making that decision. I think it's not just a one-time decision. We wander sometimes and we have to come back and ask the Lord to forgive us and recommit ourselves and say, Lord, you have my life. My life is for you. Or maybe you're here and you've never made that decision to first give yourself to the Lord. I want to challenge you to make that offering today to say, Lord, you have all of me. I want you to have every part of me. I want you to have first place in my life. Here I am, Lord. I'm all for you. Or maybe you're here today and you've never put all your hope and trust in Christ. Maybe you are trusting other things or trusting in Jesus and something else. May I challenge you today while you still have the opportunity, because our opportunities are running out, aren't they? Jesus could come back today. Or this could be the last day you live. Before it's too late, put all your hope and trust in Jesus. Take him as your Lord and Savior. He loves you. He gave himself for you. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And he's ready to hear your prayer if you open your heart to him for salvation. So whatever your need, whatever decision you need to make, allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and make your decision today. Let's pray.